Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to call us now at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-32-BASIC. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can call and get an immediate answer to your questions or discuss the important issues you face in life right now. Again, the toll-free number, 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now with thoughts for today, here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. The last week or so, we've been focusing on this overwhelming grace of God and why it's true because, you know, Jesus died and was buried and rose again. That's why we call this Basic Gospel, because that's what we focus on. And we've been highlighting a booklet, a study guide booklet that we were putting out for a gift of any amount this month called 12 Days of Simply Grace. Yeah. One of the days has an interesting verse in it. I'm not going to read that verse yet. I'm going to read it at the end of this. But it's a verse that helps explain why grace is so powerful. What brought this up to me today was a question I got in the email yesterday. And it was asked in a fascinating way. I've never had anybody ask the question quite like this. I'm going to read you two passages in Romans and then ask the question. The first passage is in Romans 3, and it's in verse 21. And it says, 3:31. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? No, not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. It's a pretty clear statement.
Yeah.
So now go over to Romans 7, and I'm going to read verses 4 through 6. So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. And the question was, how can you uphold the law and die to the law at the same time?
Yeah, it seems contradictory.
It seems contradictory. And I love the way this wasn't a get-in-your-face kind of question. I mean, if you just read those two passages, you go, whoa, you know, Paul suffering from double talk here? And so you have to go back, and unfortunately you have to read all of Romans, and I'll summarize it for you. But at the end of chapter 3, where that passage about upholding the law is located, he has just concluded an argument that he started in chapter 1. If you remember chapter 1, he talks about the Gentiles, and they have no excuse for their unbelief, because God has shown them more than enough in nature, if nowhere else, for them to say, there's something better than me, something beyond me that is worth worship. And that they had given that up, and instead they created man-made things to worship. And so God gives them over to their lusts, basically.
Yeah.
And then in chapter 2, he turns to the Jewish believers and basically says, so you think you're better than them, huh? Because you've got the law. And the answer is, no, you're not better than them. You've got the law. That's a good thing, but what has it done for you? Because you still have the same problems they do. It may expose itself in slightly different ways, but Jew and Gentile are all alike, lost, in need of Jesus. And then in chapter 3, he explains the law and why it's so positive. And the positive statement about the law is that because of the law, we know what sin is. And we've talked about that the last few days.
Right.
So if we know what the law is and we know what sin is as a result, we know we don't measure up, what are we supposed to do? Work harder? And the answer is no, because the harder you work, the worse you fail. The answer is to accept Jesus, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and have been justified freely by his grace. That's how we uphold the law. It's because Jesus has done what Jesus did, that we can uphold the law. So when we come over to Romans 7, he's gone through several major arguments, and now he's asking the question, how shall we live? You know, we say we're saved, we say we belong to Jesus, now what? And he said, don't fall into the trap. die to that law. Because our tendency, every one of us, whether we're saved or not saved, every one of us have the natural tendency to say, give me some law.
Yeah.
So that I can measure myself against the law. And if you do that, you're going to fail every time.
Every time.
And so he says, die to the law. And now here's the verse that is in the booklet that we're talking about this week, the 12 days of Simply Grace. Mm-hmm. This is Romans 6, verse 14. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. And I used to read that verse and go, well, yeah, that's interesting.
That is interesting.
It is interesting. And then somebody suggested to me, what's the reverse logic of that? And the reverse logic is that if you're not under grace but under law, then sin has to be your master. And that was a ton of bricks being dumped on my head.
Yeah.
And then the picture was complete. I wanted to uphold the law because I was raised to be a law keeper. I believed in keeping the law. I thought if I died to the law, I'd be giving myself over to sin. And Paul says right in the middle of those two statements, grace is the key. If you are living under grace, the law has finished its work, so you can die to that law, and now you've got the very life of God inside you, teaching you to say no to unrighteousness. And he's promised, Philippians 1:6, he's promised to finish what he started. What a promise.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's, you know, we're studying the book of Revelation in our Wednesday afternoon Bible study, and we just finished one of the parts where the 24 elders are seated in these thrones, and every time something happens, they fall on their faces and praise Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's all they do throughout the whole book of Revelation.
Right.
And when it dawns on us just exactly how powerful grace is and who God is and why Jesus is so important to us, it will drive us to our faces in praise.
Yes, absolutely.
That's basic gospel.
That's basic gospel. Great thoughts as we open the program. And, you know, death generally is not a good thing, but dying to the law, I think that's a pretty good thing. Yeah. Thanks, Richard. Well, friends, we have plenty of open lines. If you'd like to join this conversation, if you'd like to present something new, if you have a Bible question that you just, maybe a passage you can't just quite get your understanding of, why, this is why we're here live every day, and we are live right now across the country. We want to hear from you. That toll-free number, 844-322-2742. Richard Piper, and my name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us again, 844-322-2742. And Richard, you had mentioned 12 Days of Simply Grace. I want to let our listeners know that, of course, we are, as we've said so many times, a listener-supported program. And it's your prayers and gifts that keep this good news of Jesus Christ on the airwaves. And I just think that was great news that we started this broadcast with, and we usually do every day. When you click Donate Today in the graphic at the bottom right corner of our homepage, that's at basicgospel.net. Again, that graphic is at the bottom right corner of that homepage. Click Donate Today. You will, of course, automatically receive a copy of this new devotional booklet Richard was talking about, 12 Days of Simply Grace. Again, that's the bottom right corner of that homepage at basicgospel.net. We'd like to get a copy of that into your hands. Again, we would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Richard, a very interesting question. One believes once saved, it is eternal. It cannot be lost or left. Another believes once saved, one can reject and walk away and become lost again. Are both of these saved having different beliefs? What's the truth of that? Okay.
I had a pastor friend who used to say, I'm glad God didn't put me on that committee. This is one of those questions that I'm glad I'm not on the committee. Not one of us can look into the life of another person and say for certain they're saved or they're not saved. Now, those of us who are saved have been given the Holy Spirit, and one of the things the Spirit does is convince us, show us the proof that we are saved, that we belong to Christ. But how do you deal with these kinds of beliefs? I can give you the wrong way of dealing with these kinds of beliefs, because I used to do this all the time. I would attach theological terms to them, like, oh, you know, this one group, the people who think you can lose your salvation, well, they belong to this philosophy, and this other group belongs to this philosophy, and you'd have this philosophical conversation, but nothing would get done. And usually you ended up angry at everybody, and you're calling them names. You can always tell, you know, when somebody is really angry in a theological discussion, they will say, "Well, my brother," and you know what's coming.
Sure.
You're going to get hit with a shoe. You got to look at the Bible as a whole and ask yourself, am I believing what the Bible says? And for this can I lose salvation issue, I always go back to John 10, because I didn't make this up. Jesus said this. Jesus said, "Look, my sheep know my voice, and I have them in my hand, and no one can take them out of my hand.
Right.
My Father holds these sheep in his hand. No one can take them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So if you are truly saved, according to the word of Jesus himself, you cannot now be lost. If you can be, then Jesus was lying, and there's no salvation for anybody.
Right.
So you have to come to grips with what Jesus was talking about here without explaining it away or without making it more than it is, although it's hard to make more than it is when he said, "Look, nobody can take you out of my hand."
Yeah.
So ask the Spirit, don't trust me. Don't trust yourself. Don't get into the argument. Say, "Lord, I need to know what is truth. Show me what is truth. Take me into your word. Show me what is truth. Explain it to me in a way that sinks it in permanently so that I don't get stuck in these meaningless arguments where no one is convinced." Mm-hmm. You know, you both came to the argument with all of your weapons, and you weren't looking for new information. You were just looking to pummel the other person. There's nothing to be gained there.
Right.
Come to the Father in humility and say, "By your Spirit, the very mind of Christ, I can know the truth, and I trust you to do that." Yeah. And then let him reveal it to you.
Thanks, Richard. In the meantime, let's go talk to Nathan, listening in Dallas on our wonderful new affiliate, KWRD. Nathan, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air, I think. Well, let's try this one.
Yes.
Nathan,
there
you're on the air.
Hello, God bless.
Thank you.
Is there a hell, and how would someone end up there if there is one?
Okay. There is a hell, and I can't tell you what it looks like, what it feels like, or where it is, but there is a hell. The Bible clearly talks about it. It talks about it as being a place where you don't really want to be because there is suffering there. There's all kinds of imagery used about hell, and then humanity got hold of that imagery and has created all manner of extra stuff. But hell is real. It's not a place you want to be, and the only way you get to hell, I'm saying that wrong, the fact is every human being is born in hell. In the same way that Paul said in Ephesians, when you become a child of God, you are already seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. We are born spiritually dead, which means we are born on our way to hell. And the beauty of what Jesus has done in the gospel, his life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, the sending of the Holy Spirit, is to give us a way out of hell. And so the question we have to ask is, am I willing to leave where I'm destined to go so that I can accept the gift of God's grace and go somewhere else to be forever, eternally with Jesus? And the answer is yes, I can go there. The only thing that keeps me from going to be where God is, we tend to call that heaven, the only thing that's preventing me from doing that is unbelief, my refusal to accept Jesus for who he is and what he has accomplished and to let him make that accomplishment real in my life. That's the only thing that will cost you your salvation. It's a refusal to accept the salvation that's been offered.
What about the people who don't know about it, or maybe he's never heard about it?
Well, the Bible tells us that God gets through to people. I mentioned it early on in Romans 1. Paul says that as far as Gentiles are concerned, who never had the law, God has revealed himself to them in a way that is sufficient for them to accept him as real and to be to be saved. Okay? Now, that was before Jesus. Now that Jesus has come, the Holy Spirit is not pointing people to the law and to, you know, like the Jewish one true God. He's pointing them to Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, and who took care of the sin problem once for all in his death on the cross, and now provides eternal life because of his victory over sin and his resurrection. So God knows how to get through to people. God got through to me. I mean, I was one of those lost people sitting in church, and I heard all the words and sang all the songs, and even, you know, I was a good person. Well, I was lost, you know.
So it might not be in a church, right?
Correct. The Spirit, God Himself, is immensely creative in the ways that He can draw someone to Himself, and that doesn't lessen or reduce the fact that I am invited as a child of God to share this gospel, but the responsibility for saving people is not mine. My responsibility is to do what God has given me to do. A person who wants to be saved, his or her responsibility is accepting Jesus. That's the one responsibility that everybody has. Accept Jesus or reject Jesus. There's the most important question in life.
Okay, thank you so much, and bless y'all.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Nathan. Absolutely. Good to hear from you, my friend. Let's go to Payette, Idaho, and talk to LaVonna on our longtime affiliate KBGN. Hi, LaVonna. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
You were talking about that God forgives us our sins, and I don't understand Revelation 21:15. Mm-hmm. He's talking about who's going to be in heaven. It says, but outside the city are the perverts and those who practice magic, the immoral and the murderers, those who worship idols and those who are liars, both in words and deeds. So it doesn't seem to me like God has forgiven them and that they're going to be in hell. They're not going to be in heaven.
Yes. And the reason they're going to hell is not because God hasn't forgiven them. They're going to hell because they haven't accepted Jesus. Now remember, in both Ephesians and Colossians, we're told that in Him, that is, in Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so what Jesus did on the cross was provide forgiveness, but forgiveness is not mine, is not yours, until I accept Him because I receive the forgiveness He offers in Him. So if I am in unbelief, although that promise of forgiveness is still there until the day I die, if I'm in unbelief, I cannot accept the forgiveness that's offered. That's why forgiveness isn't salvation. Forgiveness is just forgiveness. Forgiveness is what, you know, Jesus' victory over sin is what closed the gap that separated us from God, the gap that Adam and Eve created. And so by providing that reconciliation, now we can have the conversation with God that goes like this. Are you willing to accept Jesus? If I say yes, God puts His arms around me and calls me a son, calls me a daughter. Yeah. And those people in Revelation clearly have not accepted Jesus.
Well, are you saying that we can accept Jesus and it's okay for us to go ahead and be a pervert or practice magic?
No, I absolutely didn't say that. Let's go back to a part of Romans I didn't read. I gave you one verse out of Romans 6, and I just messed up doing this here. Come on.
Okay.
Romans 6. Okay, here's the question you asked. 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And the clear answer is by no means. Absolutely not.
Right.
Because it's the Spirit living in us, grace within us, that teaches us to say no to ungodliness. We're never excused for our sins. We're forgiven our sins. There's a difference. A lot of people think that forgiveness is like being exonerated, like somebody is falsely accused and spends 20 years on death row, and they finally do a new DNA test and figure out that this wasn't the person in the first place, and so they're exonerated. because they did not commit the crime. That's not the case for you and me. We're guilty. And if we'll accept Jesus, we will accept that forgiveness that's available in him and only in him.
But we're not going to continue to keep on sinning.
Of course not. Now, we're a new creation, but we still got this flesh hanging on us. So there's a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit. So yes, there are times when we fail, but that does not change our identity.
Right.
What it does is give us a chance to say thank you to Jesus for his incredible gift of forgiveness so that we can move on from the mistake and learn. Remember, there's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So the Holy Spirit comes to me, for example, and says, well, Richard, how did that work out? And I say, well, I just messed up. And, you know, and I'm waiting for the Spirit to hit me. And the Spirit never hits me. The Spirit never piles guilt or shame or condemnation on me. The Spirit says, well, let's talk about this. What can we learn from this? How can I renew your mind so perhaps you don't do this next time? Completely different kind of conversation than the fear-based conversation that says, you know, if I mess up, I might go to hell. It's a completely different way of living.
We are to repent and turn from our sins.
Well, actually, repentance is turning from the sin, which is unbelief.
Yes.
Once we have repented of our unbelief and we've accepted Jesus and now we're saved, now we get to confess. Confess means to say the same thing as God. So what would God say about this thing that I just did? That was a bad thing. I agree with you, Lord. Thank you so much for forgiving me. And it's because we live in the forgiveness of God that we can have that conversation with him. If we didn't have the forgiveness, if we didn't have eternal life, we couldn't have the conversation about when we sin because we'd know we're going to get toasted. And so this life of grace, this life of faith and the indwelling Spirit is so completely different than what most people have thought it is, that they have to behave or else they're going to suffer. We have to put away those ideas and say Jesus is sufficient for everything or he's sufficient for nothing. And the beautiful thing is that because he is sufficient for everything, he can actually change the way I think and behave and help me move beyond the things that trip me up.
Levon, I hope that's a help to you, and we hope that you'll keep listening and call again. We're going to quote quickly to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Monica. Monica, you're on the air. We have just a short time left, so pose your question very quickly for us.
Yes, I was reading Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses, I would say 17, and it says it's about Solomon saying that we are just like the animals when we die. 18 says in the new translation, he said, then I realized that God allows people to continue in their sin. And then in chapter 19, he said, for humans and animals both breathe the same air and both die. So people have no real advantage over the animals. How meaningless.
Yes.
And I don't understand. I don't understand that part, you know.
Yes, he's talking. We'll do this quick.
Okay.
He's talking physically.
Okay.
Notice that they all go to the same place. This is verse 20. All come from dust, and to dust all return. Our physical bodies are really no better than animals. But we have something that the animals don't have, and that's a spirit. And when the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, that changes everything. We're out of time. I'm sorry I can't go into it more, but thanks for calling.
Absolutely. Thanks to everybody who called to be a part of this one. Folks, please remember Basic Gospel in your giving. We are a listener-supported ministry, and it's your prayers and gifts that keep the good news of Jesus Christ on the airwaves and online. And when you click Donate Today in the graphic at the bottom right corner of our homepage at basicgospel.net, you're going to automatically receive a copy of our new booklet, our new devotional booklet, 12 Days of Simply Grace. Again, that's the bottom right corner of the homepage at basicgospel.net. Take advantage of it, folks. It's a wonderful opportunity to really deepen your understanding of the grace of God. Well, thanks for joining us again, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again Monday for a live edition of Basic Gospel.